There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
Give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that changes its name more than its diapers. And joining me today is Lee. Oh, wait, Lee's not here. Lee is on her last day of her vacation. She's enjoying it somewhere in the sun, I'm sure. But that won't stop us today. No. Joining us, we have Jamie and James from the, I'm going to try this, sci-fi military track? Is that correct?
Nope.
Got it wrong already. Already wrong right off the bat. All right.
It's tricky for us, too. Military sci-fi media track.
Ah, sci-fi media track. Okay, first of all, introduce yourselves and what your business is at Dragon Con.
Okay, well, my name is Jamie Poff. I'm the track director for the military sci-fi media track at Dragon Con.
And I'm James. I'm the second for the military sci-fi media track at Dragon Con.
Now, what did this track used to be called? Because it seems like it's a mouthful for you guys right now.
Well, even the acronym is a mouthful. It's an MSFM track. We used to be the Stargate Multiverse track. Basically, we're converting the track and adding more content from more franchises underneath the united banner of, I guess you would say, sci-fi in space for the most part. Sci-fi in uniform, that sort of thing, and particularly media, so television and movies that feature those things.
So how did this all, we'll get to what's actually included there, but how did this all come about?
Stargate is a fantastic franchise and has been a very healthy one at Dragon Con for a number of years. But what has happened in, the past couple of years, our last new content that rolled out was 2011, and that was the end of Stargate Universe that it kind of flagged and failed and improved and then was canceled. And so what kind of happened was we just didn't have anything much new to talk about. Now, there's tons of stuff you can talk about in Stargate. You can go on for days and days. But eventually you have to start thinking about having a fan track, catering to those fans, seeing if there's anything else that they like, because you want to keep the family united and together. And one of the opportunities that was kind of put forward is, well, why don't we group some shows, some of the franchises in that are related to that military in space theme. And so we were like, well, okay, so what does that include? And that gives us Battlestar Galactica is now underneath our umbrella. We also have Farscape and Farscape is a classic favorite in and of itself, but also Babylon 5. And there are, these groups that have been in, most of them have been in the American Sci-Fi Classics area. BSG, the revised version, was in American Sci-Fi Modern Media, that sort of thing. And we just kind of, drew those into our umbrella and are covering them. And I think that's what that does is it serves several fan groups in a lot of ways. For one thing, it keeps Stargate having a lot of opportunity to be a track and be a family and that sort of thing. But we also are giving some new voice and empowerment to groups that have been kind of maybe they feel pushed aside after, being a few years out, that sort of thing. But we've had a really, really strong response so far from Babylon 5 and Farscape fans in particular. And Battlestar, especially Battlestar costumers have been coming out of the woodwork like, oh yeah, we finally have a place to be. And so I think this is going to be a really, really good thing. It's going to have some, How would you say it, James? I would say maybe some growth spurts to get used to this new change, but I think it's going to be a really healthy one.
Yeah, I think it'll be great for all the franchises. And, you know, now that we can actually pair a lot of them head to head and make some broader topic comparisons between them, I think that'll raise some more excitement as well.
Sweet. So obviously, I believe it was Sci-Fi Classics that had Babylon 5 before, right?
Mm-hmm.
American Sci-Fi Classics. And so Battlestar Galactica, do you get both versions?
Yes, we do.
Oh, sweet. Sweet.
Yeah, so we have the classic and the reimagined. I guess that's what we... that's a term I've heard it called. So,
I think at this point was scheduled to go to Classics anyway, wasn't it?
Getting close. I think there's a loose target of a show being 20 years from its start time.
Yeah.
Is usually the target for things to move from the American Sci-Fi Media to the American Sci-Fi Media Classics. And Stargate was already at that age.
Right.
At least next year would be the 20th anniversary of the first television show, but we also included the movie. So we were actually already a 20-year plus franchise.
Stop your lying. There's no way that is 20. Oh God, I'm old.
Yeah. 1994 was the first Stargate movie. So, yeah, we were already 23 years old and, you know, we were holding our own, but it was time to branch out and add some new things. And like James said, now we can, you know, put Stargate versus Battlestar. What are the merits? What's the progression in pushing military sci-fi as a theme in science fiction television in general? So I think it's going to be a really interesting way to freshen up the discussion. We're looking forward to that.
So give us a little bit of background. We'll get to your guests and some specific panels in just a little bit. But give us some background how you got involved in we'll say just being a director in general, and you too as well, James. How'd you become the second?
Well, I'll say that of course it started by coming to Dragon Con in the first place, and that was for me 2005.
That's a good start. I mean, if you're gonna, it would help to be a director.
You need to come to the convention. It's pretty important to know how the convention works and that sort of thing. But all things considered, I was actually, I would think I was kind of new to be, you know, pushed along in the volunteer track that way. But 2005, I just came as a fan, kind of did some track hopping, which I always recommend new Dragon Con goers to do. Don't lock yourself into necessarily one track's programming. They're all really, really good. And you can, you know, kind of patchwork quilt your way through the weekend and have just an absolutely fabulous time. And then, you know, year two, year three, figure out which two or three tracks you like the best and do more with those. And that's kind of what I did because 2006 was when the Stargate Offworld track started at Dragon Con. And I was attending that and I was like, you know, this is the one that I can really just bite down into because there's so many interesting discussions and to find people that had, you know, really interesting takes on the characters and fun discussions and fun activities and really, you know, making the fandom piece come alive. The track was really, really strong at that. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to start. I'm going to fold this chair. I'm going to fold 10 of these chairs up for a setup between the next panel. There's other people here that are saying we need somebody to do this. I was like, well, I'm not too good to do that. So that kind of started it. And then there was a game. They're like, we need some guy to dress up like a woman. And I was like, oh, I can do that. You know, I'll do that just for kicks and, you know, kicks and giggles, that sort of thing. Censored. It just kind of started that way. And then by between 2008 and 2009, the track had a change in some volunteerism and that sort of thing. It became Stargate Multiverse Track. And someone said, we need you to be a volunteer. You should be an actual volunteer. And I was like, okay. So I started laying some things out and then some other things shifted around and I was the second of that track and was the second until 2014 when our director, Jennifer Breland, became the charity events director for Dragon Con. They were like, well, you're the obvious choice to be the new director. I was like, oh, well, I'm very honored. And that's been the way that it's been since. And then whenever this new idea was proposed just last year, we were like, okay, maybe it's time that we broadened our content a little bit. And so I'm now the director of that. And so that's kind of how it all started. We'll talk about the charity work that we do later, I'm sure. But that's been a big part of it for me all through. It's been a major part of what energizes me personally to keep doing it. Plus, I love the shows, and all these shows are pretty fantastic. So that's my story.
James, how did you get involved?
Yeah, I'd been attending Dragon Con for several years, and then finally I joined security, was on security for about 2 years, and they announced in one of the general meetings, hey, we're going to be starting up this new track. It's going to be for Stargate. Come on down and sign up. And I was one of like two people to walk down and go ahead and put their name on the list. And when they started the Offworld fandom, I was one of the first staff members there, and I've been with the track ever since, doing whatever was needed, mostly audio visual support. And then when Jamie moved up to director from second, I moved into the second slot, and we've been powering through it the past couple of years together.
Nice, nice. So I may have missed it, but how long have you been going to Dragon Con prior to all that?
My first Dragon Con was in 96.
Wow. Okay, nice.
It's your 20th anniversary. Happy anniversary, James.
Thank you. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Because you know what that means. You're 20 years older.
You can now be a classic. You're a Dragon Con classic.
Well played.
20 years. That's when you become a classic.
Let me ask you then, James, what in the 20 years that you've been going to Dragon Con, what is probably the one or two biggest changes you've seen?
I mean, when I was going, originally it was in one hotel. Now we've got five hotels and the America's Mart. So it's definitely grown in size, but it still has that feel of family when you're there with the other fans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot more crowded, but it still feels like you're there with family. You know, just continuing to expand the programming so much more programming because we have all this room. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to need to add some more rooms soon. We got so much stuff going on, but those have been the biggest changes, but still at its heart, it's Dragon Con, and that's kept me coming back.
Speaking of room, where are you guys located this year? Are you still in the same location as last year, or have you guys moved as well?
We actually kind of booted around a couple of locations. A lot of things are going a little wild downtown with some hotel renovations. And at first we were slated to move somewhere, and then they said we couldn't move there. And so now we are in the America's Mart, which is, we are in building 2 in the America's Mart on the fourth floor. And we're up there with, and James always has to help me with this, I know we're up there with Alternate History, Star Trek, and who's the other one, James?
We're up there with comics, and most of the comics vendors are going to be one floor down from us. So.
Yeah.
James, you broke up a little bit there, but you said comics, right?
Yeah, the comics track is there. Right next door to us.
Okay. So that's Pop Media, right? Is that actually its actual title, something like that? Comics and Pop Media? I think it is.
Actually, I've never really followed their content. So there's so much to do at Dragon Con. There's things you can actually just completely ignore.
Well, okay. So, there's been a couple of tracks that have moved over there. I mean, video gaming's moved over there as well as actual gaming. The gaming room has moved over to America's Mart as well. So... All that's really expanding. So you get I guess the case is that some of the actual rooms that we have used in the past are going under construction as well. So that's why Right. Some of those have gone bye-bye. Comic and Pop Arts. This is what the actual track is called. It looks like.
There we go. All right.
Yeah. So tell me about the guests that you have this year.
Well, what's interesting, of course, when we add more franchises, we kind of adopt those media guests into our track. From the Stargate side of things, we're very happy to have three fantastic villains. We have Peter Williams, who played Apophis on Stargate SG-1. We have Jacqueline Samuda, who played the Ghoul Nirti. She's going to be with us, and it's been a number of years since she's been with us, so that'll be a real treat. And the one that I think I'm most delighted to have is that we have Sue Ann Braun, who played Hathor in seasons 1 and 2. She has only made one other American convention appearance, and so this is her second time in her first Dragon Con. So we're very, very excited about having her. And I don't think I'm missing any more Stargate people, am I, James?
No, it's all of our Stargate guests.
That's our Stargate guests. From Battlestar Galactica, we have Richard Hatch, who, of course, was in both of the classic and the reimagined series.
Wait. You can hit me later. So you're telling me that Richard Hatch is there?
Yes. Yes, he is there. He comes often. Yes, that's true. But we did have a guest announcement just either yesterday or Tuesday that Katie Zakoff is going to be with us. So we've got to get her scheduled. So I've got to work on that. But she'll be with us on her Battlestar things and maybe some other panels as well. So
is she going to do a long Longmire panel too? Probably not.
I don't know.
It doesn't fit into the fandom, but. she's really cool. She's really good on that show. That's why I ask. Anyway.
And then from Farscape, we have Gigi Edgley is going to be with us. And I think we have one other, James. What am I missing?
Well, we've got Candace McClure also from Battlestar.
Okay.
And then from Caprica, which is one of the spinoffs from the reimagined BSG, we have Sasha Ruiz, who's also, some people may know him as the captain from Grimm as well.
Ah, yes, yes. So you're going to share him with X-Track then?
Well, we hope to. Let's put it that way. it's scheduling guests is a tricky science, especially when with our media panels. We'll talk about our programming in just a second. But
right.
With our media panels, a lot of them really are franchise-specific. Mm-hmm. And so, we'll have a Stargate panel. We'll have sort of a mixed conglomeration panel. We'll have a Farscape panel. So we really are trying, to figure out if we're going to be able to put our guests where they go. We may have to rotate some media panels around from what we have planned. Everything at Dragon Con is tentative until it happens. It's a motto of the show. So the schedules will keep changing and they'll keep adapting in the app as, more guests accept invitations to come to the convention, that sort of thing. We're delighted to have them all, and we're going to try and get everyone there that it belongs to one of our franchises, at least for one panel, if not more. So.
Right. And in a lot of cases too, your pan, as far as those panels are concerned, they actually fall out to main programming too. Right. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So it sometimes falls out of your hands anyway.
Well, yeah. And where we have someone from Grimm, Grimm is a current show, and so the current show is probably going to deserve a little bit more time with that actor, actress, that sort of thing. So if we can fit them in our schedule, then we will. And if they're not there, we'll be a little disappointed. But there's other places to see that person, so make sure that you support the actor and not just the franchises that they're part of.
Yeah, just go to their panel and ask the question there.
Sure.
Go to the Grimm panel. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about the actual panels that you have, going this year. What are some of the highlights? And then we'll of course want to talk about the charity work that you guys do, which in my mind, you guys are really going back to the SG-1 are really the trailblazers as far as that's concerned. I know that it's always been a part of it, but you guys kind of kicked it up a notch several years ago. So, but just talk about your programming first.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let James talk about specifics, but as far as a sort of a blanket philosophy for this year, because this is a new topic, a new track, and in a whole lot of ways, we're working the balance between still having our loyal Stargate Multiverse fans still be a part of this family, not feel like they're disenfranchised, and bringing these new people on board. And, you know, there's always going to be some tension. So one of the things that we've done intentionally this year is made our panels, fan panels, topics rather than about the shows. So less of the specific character talks, but more things that will maybe put one show against another, which, you know, which franchise did it better. Sometimes it will be things like the idea of reboots. There's a panel that we have called Reboots, Offshoots, and Crapshoots. And rather than it being a Stargate panel or a Farscape panel, it's every time that somebody's decided to they were going to reboot something, or they're going to do a work of fan fiction, something derivative, that sort of thing. And that way everyone can come to the table and talk about all the good and the bad things that were hashed out from the or whatever the original was. And all of our franchises are welcome to chime in on that. So that's kind of I think that's kind of the philosophy of the programming this year. And that's so that we can figure out exactly who our target audience is. Because having done Stargate all these years, we don't know how many Babylon fans are going to show up, and we don't know how many Battlestar Galactica fans are going to show up. We don't want anyone to feel underrepresented or pushed aside, so we're just going to open the table up to everyone and see what we get. And that'll be largely what influences the programming in the future.
So what you're doing is encouraging people to fight amongst themselves. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. We love it. One of our volunteers and one of our, in my opinion, one of our strongest panelists, Heather McMurray, said, whenever we talk about any kind of topic in science fiction, the great thing about sci-fi fans is that you can argue your point until you're blue in the face at each other. But when it's all over, you go and have a cup of coffee and you continue the discussion. It's not like, I hate that person and I never want to see them ever again. The goal of science fiction fandom is that you can talk about these ideas and it's still civil and you still want to keep talking about it after the hour is up. Mm-hmm. So she explained it that way one year at one of the conventions that we've done. And I'm like, that is brilliant, because that's really what we're about. And it's really held strong for us in our fan panels and discussions before. And it's something we're not going to let go of. It's like, the idea is that you walk away from the discussion and you're ready to go have a cup of coffee with that person, no matter if they are with you and on your side or if they're in opposition to you, because it's the diversity that makes it interesting.
That's correct. That's awesome. So, James, tell us about some of the specific programming if you can.
You know, we have a lot of villains from Stargate 1, so we're trying to get an all System Lords villain sort of panel going, if we can get that schedule to work out with main programming. We are still doing a lot of our traditional stuff, like the interactive, where we do an episode sort of MST3K, Rocky Horror-style interactive. Couple of years we've been expanding that a little bit towards a double feature instead of just one episode, and this year we actually have another double feature, and one of the episodes is not Stargate, so we're gonna leave that as more of a surprise for people to find out as we get closer to the convention which franchise that episode's from. But it is a fan favorite, and people love the interactive, so we're keeping a lot of those traditions alive that people like programmatically as we move into this new track.
Okay. What other stuff you got going?
We have panels for different things, like Reboot Rewind is another one. People that have either come back from the dead or started over, depending on timelines or alternate dimensions or what have you. We have Prophets and Prophecies, where we talk about a lot of that. That's very important in a lot of the shows, especially if you get into like V5 and Battlestar, the reimagined one especially. Gender swap and inclusion, sort of anything you can do, I can do too. We also have a lot of tradition of inclusion type panels,
that that people like to come and discuss, and it's a safe place to discuss it. And, you know, like Jamie said, you keep discussing it and go get some coffee later, you know, and it's, you're making new friends and talking about a lot of things you're passionate about.
Cool. Cool. So let's jump over to the charity events. So, I guess this year I probably should have, I don't remember who it is. Do you remember who the charity is this year?
I do.
Okay, good. Good.
So I always make sure that I know, because people want to ask for whom are we raising money. This year it is the Atlanta Center for Self-Sufficiency. I encourage everybody to go to the DragonCon webpage and look at the ACSS logo. It's a very, very potent and hard to miss link, and read about their mission and what they do. But essentially they look for people who are disenfranchised and homeless and get them into work education programs so that they can be in job placement training and that sort of thing. And they've had a fantastic track record since 2013. I want to say that they have placed 1,700 people in work, and that 1,300 of those people have managed to maintain their jobs for longer than, I think, 6 months is the window that they look at as sort of their assessment meter. And I think that's just a fantastic mission, is to, you know, get people a hand up and not a hand out. I think it's really important to, for the a lot of people feel like, you know, giving to charity is not something that they should do because it encourages laziness or, you know, not moving forward in life. And I have never really believed that. I believe that you give with a charitable spirit and you hope for the best. And many times you're delightfully surprised at the results. And those surprises, those positive things, usually outweigh the one or two cases that you have where you give charitably and there's no return on investment. I think it's a fantastic charity, just reading a little bit about it, and really, really excited. Of course, we're always excited about the charity. Stargate Multiverse has been a big part of who we are, and we definitely hope that it'll be part of Military Sci-Fi Track. So it's the Atlanta Center for Self-Sufficiency. Definitely look them up. Know about to whom you are giving. No one asks you to give blindly just for the sake of giving. But I think this is a fantastic cause.
Okay, so what are you guys doing this year for your charity events?
Well, we have two. Saturday night, we have this is one of the things where James was talking about maintaining our traditions. Stargate, we've always had a charity event on Saturday night that was more of a sort of a casual free-for-all. We have a mixer. We're going to call it the Meet the Fleet Party, which is going to be, so you can come in whatever uniform you want or no uniform at all. That's fine. We're going to have our classic team trivia.
But do wear something.
No costume is no costume. That's always part of the rules at Dragon Con. You need to make sure you are wearing something. We do our team trivia, and that's always fantastic. And have some of my costuming friends from my Cobra costuming group that I started Dragon Con with. They like to come out, and they typically don't know Stargate. Maybe they'll know these other franchises and they'll be a force to be reckoned with, but usually we kind of pay them not to be, so that, you know, everyone feels like a winner because this team for sure is going to lose. And they know that I get paid to say that, so it's okay. But yeah, they're a lot of fun. But we do our team trivia. We recommend that people give, you know, $5 to $10 a person on a team to raise to the charity. And that's just to play the game for the night. We are also going to do green screen photography. We offer up a number of backgrounds, anywhere from usually about 15 to 20 different backgrounds. And we put up a green screen and you can pose however you like. And we've got some people who will photo edit after the show and post those online for you to download. And there's a recommended donation for those as well. So that's kind of the kickoff for our charity events. That's on Saturday night. And then Sunday is probably our strongest tradition, and really what has really put our charity efforts on the Dragon Con map and on the radar, so to speak. And that is the Don S. Davis Memorial Charity Auction. that event has a really, really rich history. It kind of started off accidentally. We had a few fan items that we wanted to make sure that we got into some people's hands, but we also wanted to make sure we managed to raise some money for, I think it was the American Diabetes Association in 2007. We had about four items, and we had an actor in the room at the time, and he was willing to run this little mini auction, and we wound up raising about $2,700 in 45 minutes. And that kind of gave the notion that the next year we would do something a little bit more formal. And our first auction, we were going to have Don S. Davis back as a guest. And unfortunately, he passed just 2 months before the show and of a heart attack. And his wife specifically asked for people to raise money for the American Heart Association. It just so happened that Dragon Con had picked that as their charity for the year months before that event happened. It just kind of all fell into place. And we decided that our motto for the year would be, we were going to do it for Don. And that year we raised $14,000 in about 2 hours. And we really got to thinking, this is something that we really want to rally around. And it has been an event. At first, it wasn't the Don S. Davis auction. It was the Stargate auction. And we went about 5 years in and we realized that, you know, Don's passing was the thing, the vehicle that made that happen, the love of him as an actor and as a person who came to us, to the track. Mm-hmm. So we decided to name the auction retroactively for him. And we're going to keep that name. Just because we're changing tracks doesn't mean we're changing the name of the auction. That's why that tradition is very, very strong. And to date, for all the different Dragon Con charities, this is a loose total. It's not verified by anyone. But my estimation, we've raised $137,000 for charity since 2007. And
that's insane.
Yeah, it really is insane. I really, really can't believe it. I've had a couple of moments that we'd finish an auction and I was like, I just can't believe that just happened. And we really can't take credit for it. The volunteers cannot, because it is a mixture of volunteers, but we've got people who go to conventions throughout the year, gathering up little items, getting autographs on things. We get just loose items. We know that the actors are going to be at Dragon Con. We've got a team that goes and asks, you know, if we can get things autographed. And that, of course, raises the value in an auction situation. And we've got people who are just extremely charitable, and they make this a passion of theirs to go from convention to convention, gathering items, and then bringing them to Dragon Con and bidding on different items, taking those items to other auctions, placing them in other auctions. And it's just this huge cycle of giving and benefiting humanity. And our auction is just a piece of that huge machine that's being run by our fans. We have very little control over it now. I mean, we have an event that lasts 2 hours and it takes us, you know, many hours of organizing to put together, but really it's those fans that are working throughout the year that make that happen. And then they come to Dragon Con and they just keep it happening. It's just part of this huge charitable machine that makes a difference in the world. And, it stuns me. It really stuns me in a fantastic way that we can do that, that we can make science fiction and fantasy fandom change the world in ways that we describe in the books and the ideas. You know, we talk about magic existing and miracles happening and, you know, what the world could be and what the world should be. These are all things we talk about as fantasy and science fiction fans. And this event, doing what it does in amidst all these other events around the country throughout the years, it makes it all real. And that's one of the things that makes me so passionate about, you know, doing this, what some people would call silly little hobby. It's not a silly little hobby, because look at the people who benefit. I think that's just the mission of it. Mm-hmm. And it's what makes it a beautiful thing. It's what gives focus and meaning to being a fantasy and sci-fi fan. is that, yeah, we talk about these things and we argue over who can hold Thor's hammer and why is that a big deal to anyone outside of anyone who's ever read a comic book. But it's that idea, that spirit that gets inside of us and says, you know, if that can happen in fantasy, what can we do in the real world? And this is something that we can do. And we do a fantastic job of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've motivated, our fans have motivated Dragon Con itself to do a 50K grant match where they challenge the fans from the whole convention to raise $50,000. And then they will in turn give up to $50,000 in matching money. And I say we have 70,000 fans plus that come to this convention. If we can't easily do that every year, then someone's not willing to give a dollar. And if you have the money to go to Dragon Con, you have a dollar to put in a donation booth somewhere. And I don't care if it's a Stargate booth. I don't care if it's, you know, for another fan track. I don't care if it's in one of the regular donation booths. If you don't stop at least one day and drop a dollar off in one of those bins, then you... Something is wrong. Something is broken.
Your heart is stone. Your heart is stone.
No, it's like what you must be dead inside. I was like, get with the program, people. Your dollar is needed, and you can say, well, it doesn't matter if I don't give my dollar because these other people are doing so much more. That's not what it's about. That $1 is as important as somebody else's $500 donation. We need that. We need to have, you know, you don't be one of those 20,000 that doesn't get. You need to be one of the 50,000 that does. And so, you know, give a dollar. That's all anybody's asking, $1. And if you want to give more, fantastic. But we need your dollar. So get out there and give it. And it's been something that we've kind of tossed around. We're like, you know, we're just not asking for much. And these people deserve it. These people that are in these being benefited by these charities, it goes a long way to say that Dragon Con gives $100,000 to some group every year. And again, that's the magic of it. It should be one of the things that we rally around as a science fiction and fantasy fandom community of 70,000 people. It's not just about the costumes. It's not about meeting actors. It's not about the friendships or the drinking or the festivities and the revelry. It's not just that. We can make a difference, and it's easy. We're not even asking for people to really go out of their way. Stop by one of those bins, drop a dollar off, get that 50,000, and make Dragon Con pay. Make them give every bit of that 50,000 they promised.
Amen, brother.
That's what I ask people to do. That's what I ask people to do.
Amen. Amen. Yep. All right.
Sorry. So, that's my soapbox. I love our charity work at Dragon Con.
It's so important. Do you need a hand getting down off that?
No, I'm good.
I'll just stay right up there.
Pop my back. Okay, we're good. Let's go on.
All right. All right. So, before we get into our little final little thing that we've been doing this year, the room again. Where are you at?
America Smart, Building 2, fourth floor.
Building 2, fourth floor. All right. Mm-hmm. And you'll find them up there with in the Star Trek. If you're over there for Star Trek, which also is military and space, but it's very specific.
Here's the thing. It's like, you know, for those franchises that grow to that size and have that length of time, yeah, they deserve their space. And it's not to say that Stargate and Babylon 5 and Battlestar don't, but they're smaller niche fandoms. They don't compare to the fandom machine that Star Trek and Star Wars are.
Yeah.
And we love those too. And, you know, if a day ever comes where they need to be absorbed, which is probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
They'll be welcome to be a part of us. That's fantastic.
We'll
take them. I love Star Wars. What are you talking about?
You and I will be long gone from this earth by the time that needs to happen.
That most likely. And that's a good thing because, again, I love Star Wars and I love Star Trek. So that's all good.
All right, so James and Jamie, what we're going to do is we've been playing a game with our guests at the end of the show. Normally we play with Lee and she loses all the time, but this time we're going to play with you two. I'm going to start to play a theme. It's going to be, you know, vaguely military, sci-fi-esque. As soon as you recognize what the theme is from or what the name of the theme is or whatever, just, you know, say your name. which I realize now is sort of a problem, but you know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we actually are both Jameses. I'll make sure I say Jamie.
And I will stop the music and you can tell me whether or not what the name of the tune is and or the show it's from.
I'm afraid James is going to win, but we'll try this. We'll see how it goes.
And we'll see who wins at the end. Okay.
All right.
Let me make sure I got everything set up here. We'll start off with now they can be space themed as well. So that just okay. So you know, so don't think it's necessarily a television show. As you will see right now, that is not the case. You guys can hear that okay, right?
Yep. Oh, Jamie.
Oh, on. Yes.
Oh, that, I know the song is The Final Countdown by Europe.
That is correct. Final Countdown is correct.
Yeah.
James, you are there, right? He's here. Okay. You're breaking up a little bit. That's why we have to double check with you. Okay. Okay. Let's try this one.
Clytus, I'm bored. What
plaything? Oh, wait. I might have pulled the wrong one. Hold on. Let me see. Hold on. Yeah, I did pull the wrong one. Dun, 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 dun. We'll move on from that one. People out there already know what it was, but I'll move on. All right, here's one. Anyone?
No, I don't know who that one is.
It seems familiar, but it's not coming to mind.
Okay, I'll play it for a few more seconds. All right, that was the theme from Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Judgment Day. All right, let's try. Which one is this? No, we'll skip that one for now. Here, this one should be easy for you guys.
Oh, Jamie.
Yes, Jamie.
That's Battlestar Galactica.
I'll need to know which one you're talking about.
That would be the newer one, I think.
Wrong. Oh, I'm glad I asked. It's wrong.
Oh, dang.
James. Yep. James has it right. Battlestar Galactica Classic. He gets a point.
Yep. Told you James was going to win. Anyway.
Okay, here we go.
Jamie.
Yes.
That's Stargate SG-1.
That is correct.
Not going to get that one wrong.
Although, I got to tell you, I played that same theme for I'm blanking on her name now. Oh, Jen. And it took her a few more notes than that to get to it. So you were a little quicker on the draw than she was. Although I'm probably going to hear from her until she's going to tell me that that's not true. But anyway, here we go.
My name is John Crichton, an astronaut, a radiation wave hit.
James, did you say James?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
That's Farscape.
That is Farscape.
Yes.
These, I hope, were the easy ones.
Yes. There's one I'm hoping that you'll play because I'm really this one that I really really like, but you haven't done it yet, so we'll see.
I probably won't, but here we go. Again, maybe space themed.
They say our solar system is centered.
Oh, I know this.
Yes,
Jamie, it's Interplanet Janet.
That is true, Interplanet Janet
from Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah.
Yes, that is true. Hey, let's listen to a little bit more because I know that Lee loves this song. And you know, I haven't been sued by Disney yet, who apparently owns this now, so
What?
Okay. Yeah. But somewhere out in space, there's another shining face. You might see some night up in the sky. Interplanet Janet, she's a galaxy girl. All right. Yeah, Interplanet Janet, that is correct.
I appreciate there's still nine planets there, too.
That is true. That's old enough to have that. Here's one that might be a little difficult. I'll give you a hint. It's from a movie, which might be obvious given the grandioseness of it, but it is space war themed.
Man, that sounds familiar. I don't know what it is, but
it's a movie that starred Lance Guest. It had a flying car in it. No? Okay. Ever so briefly. All right, I'll give you one more hint because I want someone to get this. It also centered around a video game.
No, I'm not going to get that.
Any guesses, James?
Last Starfighter.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh. That's a great thing.
Were you saying your name and I just couldn't hear you?
No, it just you asked me directly there, and that's finally when it clicked. I was like, that's Last Starfighter.
Oh, okay, yes, Last Starfighter. Let's see. Oh, here's one. Another battle in space.
Oh, I know this one. Keep it going, keep it going.
Battle of the
Planets. Of the Super Friends, isn't it?
No!
No.
James, James, you got it?
No, I don't right now.
Battle of the Planets?
Battle of the Planets, also known as...
G-Force?
G-Force. I'll give you a point for knowing the G-Force.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I was a little lost on that one.
Pity points is what that was. James, game is hard, okay?
James is already filing his objection to this. All right.
Oh, that's the Imperial March from Star Wars?
Yeah, but you haven't said your name yet. James?
I'm Jamie.
Okay. Yes. Yes. What, Imperial, did you want to give your name again? Your guess again?
The Imperial March from Star Wars.
That is correct. Which
not know the theme song of like one of my heroes in life.
You're here. Wait. Your hero is Darth Vader.
Absolutely. Yes.
Sure. Makes sense.
Long live the Empire. I'm all for it.
I got two more here. Okay. And right now we're at.
You're still letting me down, John. I'm just going to say I've got one in my head, and as soon as I hear it, I'm going to be like, I'm glad that he put that one in there, but I bet you won't. Let's see how it goes.
I don't think I am.
No.
Here we go. The tagline for this movie is "A Place Beyond Your Dreams, A Movie Beyond Your Imagination." I would say, wow. I'd say
thanks for describing every science fiction ever.
In a place you've never been.
World you thought could not be. I was like, come on now.
In a time far away. Far gone.
I'm just going to venture a guess. I'm going to put Jamie and we'll put Starman.
No.
Okay.
James, I'll give you one hint. People spend a lot of time cleaning sand out of their underwear on this in this movie.
Is it Land of the Lost?
No.
No, it's Dune.
Dune. Yes, it's Dune.
Okay. That hint gave that away.
Yeah.
For me. Then again, I'm kind of a trivia buff, so I'm reading the questions.
All right.
All right. What's this last one? It needs to be the one that I'm looking for.
It isn't going to be. I'm going to tell you that right now. No. Because.
Oh, really?
Here. Just listen. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's Carl Orff is actually the origin of it. But
yes, Carl Orff is.
Is it O Fortuna? Is the
yes,
name
it's
of the tuna?
O Fortuna. O Fortuna. And name what movie or trailer it is from.
I really don't know that. First, I was thinking it was a Star Wars one, but I don't think that's in Star Wars, any of the movies.
That would be every trailer or movie ever made.
Yes. Okay. Any answer will do.
Any answer will do, yes. What was the one you were thinking?
Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Oh, I almost did put that in there.
Yes. See, I mean, I knew it was like...
I think I had it. Hold on.
Secretly, I'd kind of like to see if there's enough fan interest to like suck that one into our track. Because I, even though it was only a two-year show and many people consider it a flop, as a kid, I loved that show. So, yeah.
Yeah, I did have it, but I actually pulled it. Where's it? Buck Rogers. Let's see. Because I think I had put it in another one too, so that's why I didn't.
It has a very weird beginning. That's not the actual theme song.
Yeah. Right. Hold on.
He's got that whole him spinning through time and frozen and all that business, and then the recognizable thing comes out about 30 seconds in. So.
Where's it at? Oh, there it is. Okay, I kept. Scrolling right over the top of it every time. Yeah, this thing.
No, it's not that one, I don't think.
Oh, sorry, this is the wrong one.
There you go. That's not it. That's not it. No, this one starts with a weird countdown thing.
Yeah. Let me. That's the suspension.
That's the fan one with the world at the end. That's the end.
Yeah. Where is it then? I had it. I played
have
it before.
To find it. Send you a link.
Oh, well, hold on. I can find it real quick. YouTube's your friend. Uh-huh. If you type properly, it is. And you type it in a search box and not just randomly pressing keys. Let's see. Buck Rogers. Here's the intro. Let's see. Which one... Well, there's the one with no voiceover, which is the one that I played before.
That's the one. There he is. That's it.
1987, NASA launched the last of America's deep space probes.
No, we didn't. This show starts with lies.
Cosmic forces beyond all comprehension. In a freak mishap, his life support systems were frozen by temperatures beyond imagination. Ranger 3 was blown up.
I don't know. I have a pretty good imagination. How about you? Do you have a good imagination? I can imagine really cold.
Yep.
Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
I love this theme once it gets to that point, but the beginning part is so esoteric and weird, and the rhythm is off and bizarre. It's like, okay, let's get to the good part of the theme.
And it stars Erin Gray, who is one of the nicest people.
She really is. Like that was one of my grown-up fanboy moments was when I met her for the first time. Of course, she reps celebrities at Dragon.
She reps. I'd probably say about at least half of the.
Yeah, and just really, really a fantastic person. And of course, I loved Colonel Wilma Deering. I was 8 or 9 when the show came out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was always a fantastic.
You didn't realize the feelings that you're having?
I don't know that I had those feelings then. I don't think I was too young for those feelings, but yeah, so she was pretty fantastic. So Yeah, all right. But it was great to meet her in real life. I will say that, and she really is a fantastic person in real life. So.
All right, so the final score we have is Jamie 5, James 3. James, I will go ahead and hear your objections in a formal hearing to be announced later.
I don't have any objections. I'm great.
James doesn't object to me.
I'm fine. All right. So, again, the name of the track is now Things That Happen in Space with Guns in Armor and in Uniform, right?
Fans in Uniform. That's the short version. but it's a military sci-fi media track.
That's what it was.
And like I said, even the acronym's a mouthful, MSFM. It's going to take us a little while because we got Stargate Multiverse track, SGMT, to roll off the tongue really well, but this one's got a lot more opposing types of consonants in it. So it'll take some practice, but we'll get there. I've been calling it the Mill Sci-Fi Media track. I don't know if it's a new term, Mill Sci-Fi, but...
We'll take it.
We're going to make it a word, I think. So.
All right, guys. Thank you again for joining us, and I appreciate the work that you do for DragonCon, as well as for the charities, of course, because you make every other track director want to do better, because they are trying to beat you. It hasn't happened yet, but they're trying.
Yeah, they really are. They really are doing some great things. I've seen some really great tracks, like, come up with some really cool things, especially YA Lit does some great stuff, and everyone's just trying to do so much more, and that's really a fun part of the whole experience too. So get out there and give your dollar, no matter to whom you give it or for what reason, but give your dollar to DragonCon Charity.
Yes.
Pitch that one more time.
Yes, please do. So until next time, for James and Jamie, this is John saying peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.